We have those Bibles in the seat. If you have your own, turn to John chapter 1. And those in the little seat, that would be page 97. I'll be reading out the New King James this morning. And I want you to have a Bible to take with you, to have in your truck. And if you want the King James instead of the New King James, let me know and I'll switch with you. I got both. But I like to read out of this one. I'm from South Georgia, so we didn't talk like that where I come from. But I grew up on the King James, still use it all the time, so it's certainly a good one. But in James, we want to talk about, in John rather, I want to talk to you about a man sent from God. I heard a message on this recently, and this phrase captured my thought, and it still today is in the forefront of my mind. And I'm just, you know, when I was praying about what to share this morning, in fact, the reason I mentioned XM is this same scripture was mentioned on XM this morning, so I'm glad you didn't hear it. But it's real short. But in John, well, let's just read a few verses. John chapter 1, verse 6, said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." John 1, 6 through 8. A couple of things we want to look at here in this beginning is, number one, it said, what did it say about John? He was a man sent from God. Now, you say, well, that's John. Well, every one of us is in that same boat. Yeah. And if you take your Bible, you could put, "There was a man sent from God whose name was," and put your name there. And you'd be absolutely correct. Because we are called of God to go into our world. And we mentioned the technology and that of... You cover, and of course, I said something about Dr. Graham a while ago. he'd love to have a group this big. And I don't want to make light of that because that's the one ministry that stands out in my mind as, I guess, the most successful it's ever been. A lot of people I like to listen to, but certainly Dr. Graham. And the reason I mention him is he's known as an evangelist, right? Mm-hmm. Does a great big crusade. But now listen. Now, you may not believe this, but it's true. You touch more people every year than he did. Now, what I mean by that, I said touch more. They don't necessarily respond to you, but you speak to more. CB radio, round the truck stop. I saw a group this morning, out. We call it smoking area outside there, and great philosophers meet at that table. Oh, yeah. If you don't think so,
the world.
Yeah, you just slow down there anytime you want to. And I almost said, now that y'all told all these stories, how about coming on into chapel, let's pray. But you know what? That's drivers, in fact, this ministry started on a CB radio in 1976. The truck and the logo that you see in the picture was the truck we owned. I owned it. And me and the bank. But they held me responsible for it. And the Lord blessed me with my own regular run to where I went the same route all the time. There's positive and negative to that, of course. One is I knew where I'd be all the time, pretty much. And the negative part is I knew where I'd be all the time. There was not going to be any different. So, but I was able to witness, and I would take Bibles just like we have here, and I encourage you to take a couple with you. Take some extra ones. The tracts and the track rack. Anytime you go in a truck stop ministry chapel, I can't speak for everybody, but this is our feeling. Anytime you go in one of our chapels, get you a handful of tracts. Get you a couple of Bibles, two or three Bibles. Don't take all of it at one time, but yeah, two or three years there, whatever, and keep your truck stocked, prepared to, what did John do? What was his job? What does it say right there? It said, this man came for a witness to bear witness of what? The light. Jesus. Who is the light? Jesus Christ, right? Now, again, you crisscross the United States. Some of you run coast to coast. Some of you run 48. Some of you run different things. Does anybody here pull reefer?
Yeah.
All right, good. Anybody pull flatbed? All right. What about dry van? All right, look at this. Any moving? Any bed bug? Any electronics? Now, what I've done here, see, is see the diversity of ministry sitting in this room.
Equipment.
All right. Heavy equipment?
Mud boy, yeah.
Okay, heavy haul. Very good. See, all the ones we mentioned, none of you go to the same dock. Look at there. So tomorrow and all next week, all of you will be going to places to minister. Separate places. Now, I pulled a reefer with mine. But, and that means, obviously, I had perishable stuff on board all the time. I hauled Edwards pies out of Atlanta and swinging meat back, and which keep your undivided attention. We called them swinging go-go girls back then, but that'd get interest on the CB. But, you know, all of us have a ministry. I'm convinced that every born-again Christian is called into the ministry. I believe all of us, everybody, has a ministry to do. And again, drivers will listen to you guys that won't listen to me because of that little word right there,
yeah.
Chaplain. That makes me a preacher. You are too, but see, they don't know that.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, a preacher is simply a person, take the P off of that. And you got reacher. All of us are reachers for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Turn to page 35. I want to show you where our commission comes in. Page 35 should be Matthew chapter 28 in your Bible. Matthew 28, and right at the end of that chapter, well, close to the end, is, of course, verse 18. Matthew 28:18 is our commission, and the only ordination that we need to go into ministry. You know, everybody thinks you need a 8x10 piece of paper. I'm thankful that I'm ordained. I'm thankful that a church ordained me. But that has nothing to do with the ministry.
No.
It really doesn't. Has nothing to do with it whatsoever. What that does is it gets me in. If you're in the emergency room, if you're in ICU, I can walk into where you're at. They won't stop. That's about the only benefit of it, you know, and that's what I use it for. If I hear you've been in a, you know, wreck here in Atlanta, like I happen to be the second person to get the one up here toward the cab, the sleeper completely off the chassis. And he wound up in what used to be Georgia Baptist Hospital in Atlanta and was there for a while because he had crushed one of his legs. Anyway, we went up there several times to minister to him, talk to him. And so that's the only thing that's good for. But you are ordained. Look what he said. Now, this is Jesus talking. I wish those Bibles were red letters, we call it, that shows his word. But Jesus said this in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," let me back up a minute. Hold it right there. Who was he talking to?
Disciples.
His disciple. And they were, what is a disciple? A follower. A follower. Nothing more than what we are. You know, I'm a disciple of my pastor in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm a disciple of whoever I follow. Right? And I have a pastor here in Jackson, Georgia, at our church, which I'm thankful for. But here he is meeting with his disciples. And I dare say these were not seminary graduates. If
no.
You study their lifestyle, right?
No.
These were guys just like you and me.
Fishermen.
That's right. Fishermen. And by the way, they were owner-operators.
Yep.
Peter was an owner-operator. He was.
Yeah, boy.
He was. Yep. He had several boats. In fact, Peter was a very wealthy guy. I studied him because I remind me of him. We're kind of impulsive, and that's not necessarily good. Sometimes I speak and think later. And that's not good when you're not the biggest one in the room. That's not a good plan all the time.
That's true.
God has got me out of several things that my mouth got me into. But Peter was very impulsive, but he was also... Now, you know, we think of Peter, for instance. Here's the guy that denied God, right? Denied knowing Jesus Christ. Here's the guy that stepped out of the boat, started toward Jesus, and began to sink. Everybody thinks of him sinking. But did you ever happen to think there was 11 that sat in the boat that didn't try?
Yeah.
I believe Peter was successful because he tried. He tried. He gave it all he had. Not only that, every time he failed, he got up and brushed himself off, so to speak, and tried again. See, that's the thing. You say, I have failed, I have done this, I've got failed marriages in my past, I've got all of this. God's not interested in that. And by the way, that's not an excuse not to serve God.
Right.
Now, I know you've been told, you might have been told by a church somewhere that you can't. Well, I beg their pardon, because that is not in here.
In here. That's right.
That's not in here. It's a scripture that's misused, and I can prove it to you if you got the time. I won't go into it today, but I can show you in the infallible, inerrant Word of God, in any version. It ain't called just my version now. I know I'm going to get some feedback from this tape already. But if you study it out, in fact, let's look at something here. Let's go a little further. We'll get to that in a minute. All right? Don't want to get ahead of myself. But, well, look over at, look at Acts 4. Let's go to there next. Acts 4:13, page 128 in your, in the little Bible there, the Trucker's Bible. Acts 4:13. I mentioned Peter, and here he is. This is right after the day of Pentecost, by the way. This is right after Jesus was crucified, resurrected from the dead, and then the day of Pentecost, as you've heard about or read about. And if you hadn't, it's in the beginning of the book of Acts. It's Acts 2. But here in Acts 4, by the way, at the day of Pentecost, there was a great transformation happened in their life. Did anybody know what it was? That's when the Holy Spirit came down and made his abode. He started living in people, and he lives in you and me today. Same one. If you're born again, it don't matter if you're a Baptist Christian or a Methodist Christian or a Catholic Christian. You know, I hear all these people say, I'm a good Catholic, I'm a good Baptist. Well, that ain't worth a flip. You need to be a good Christian. Right? We need to know Jesus personally. Now, we'll never agree on little penny-ante stuff, like how deep the water should be when you're baptized. Who cares? You know, sprinkle or dunk. Who cares?
Father God judges what's in the heart of man, not his actions.
Exactly. He looks on the outward appearance, right? Well, now, these other people, though, these religious people who gave Jesus all the grief, I might say, during his whole 3 years of ministry, they were looking at these disciples and saying, who are you? You know, Peter, exactly. I know you. You're just a fisherman. And I hear people say, I'm just a truck driver. Don't ever say that. You're not just a truck driver. You're a truck driver because God called you to be. God called you and put you where you are. I believe that. You say, no, I chose it. Well, that's about like being married to say you chose it. It was a cooperative decision.
That's
right. How's that? Cooperative decision. I need to write that down. But anyway, in Acts 4:13, the group, in this case Sanhedrin, was looking at them, and they had told them, you can't preach no more. But look what they said. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what?
Uneducated
and what?
Untrained.
They marveled. In other words, wow, look at this boldness. And these guys hadn't been to seminary. Now the people talking to them had been to the seminary of that day.
Sanhedrin.
In other words, the religious, right, the Sanhedrin court, the Sanhedrin group. But look at the last sentence in verse 13. What does it say, somebody?
They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus.
There you go. They realized, they noted that they had been with Jesus. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is, have we been with him? Now, you ask most people here at the truck stop today, and they say, I believe in God. Well, see, so does Satan. Satan believes in God. That don't make him a Christian, does it? Just believing is not quite enough. That's where we start, of course. That's a good starting place. Bad place to stay. Bad place to stay. What if you didn't shift any better than you did the first time? I don't know about you, but my first time, I was riding with a perfectionist too. This guy never missed a gear, and I thought, well, I'll just get over there and do the same thing. Wrong.
This is easy.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy, man. I guarantee you, the guy I was running double with, many times I've looked out the sleeper, and he never looked at the tack. And when it touched a certain place, he shifted. I mean, just rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought, why can't I do that? I'm looking at the tack, both mirrors straight ahead, and still can't do it. But you know what? After a while, nothing to it, right?
Comes natural.
Don't even touch the clutch, you know, just drive. Well, the same thing with walking with God. You got to begin somewhere, and then you grow and get comfortable in it, just like these guys that had been with Jesus for a while, ministering with Jesus. They had grown comfortable talking about it, see, right? They were born again. They were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here that they saw the boldness of Peter. It takes something bold, that's right, to wear a Christian shirt or to be a witness. And again, as I said earlier, you can do a whole lot better job than the chaplain in the chapel, because the people you get to reach, we'll never talk to. We'll never get the chance to do that. And that's why Truck Stop Ministries wants to get you into the ministry. No, you don't need paperwork again. Who needs that? You're commissioned by Matthew 28:18. Go into all the world, it said, right? And preach the gospel to every living creature. We didn't read that, did we? We skipped over that. Go back to Matthew. I want to show you that in case you didn't get it, in case you haven't seen it. We turned there, and then I started and didn't finish it. I just realized that. Turn back to page 35. Now again, the ones we just read about, he's talking to, as we mentioned earlier. You're at page 35, Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus said in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all truckers. Well, that's what I put. I just wrote it in there, you know. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Several things we could talk about in that little verse or two there, right? That he called us, he said, go and make disciples. And again, what is disciples? But followers. You know, if you like the company you're with, you're the best disciple they could ever have. You're the best advertisement, or the worst, in some cases, that they could ever have. Word of mouth. Because you're going to tell everybody if you're doing good, right? So, same thing with, if you realize what God has done for you, and if I realize what God has done for me, I want to tell everybody about it. And I can guarantee you success. I guarantee you success. And the reason I can say that is because everything don't happen like I want it to. Everything don't happen when I want it to, but it's always for my good.
Amen. That's faith.
That's right. It doesn't matter. You know, I've been from the highest high to the lowest low, And all of it was God. All of it was good. All of it had good things about it. Had to stand at the foot of my granddaughter and watch her die. That's the hardest thing I've ever done. Praying as hard as I could pray. Knowing what the Word says about Jesus' stripes on his back healed us. And watched her die. But we've seen good come out of that. You see, that was Father's decision.
His will.
And we have to let it go at that. Now, probably when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is walk up and say, how come? That's okay. It's okay to ask God why. I had most of my grandchildren there yesterday, and there was a lot of whys going on. Like, why can't we do this? Why can't we? You know, and it's okay to ask God that.
That's right.
Please be honest with God.
That's what he wants.
That's what he wants. He wants. Now, turn over to page 251. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I want to show you how simple it is, how easy it is to get, to become born again. I want to show you that, as I said earlier, all born again Christians are sent out into the ministry from God, just like John. And the beginning spot, or the starting, or I should say, restarting point, is confession. Now, there's people out there today that will tell you that you don't have to confess your sins to be born again. That you don't have to repent. That's a lie. That's a lie. There's a lot of false stuff out there today, men and ladies listening to tape. There's a lot of false doctrine being taught, and some of it is in chapels at truck stops. Be aware. Please be aware. You won't ever offend me by saying, where did you get that? If I can't show you in the Scripture, then forget it. And I'm talking about in Scripture in context. In context with the rest of the Scripture. Because he don't change back and forth. Okay? But I just be aware. I know some that are out there. And I won't go any further than that. Get in trouble. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 is the beginning point of all of it. It said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God. How easy can you get? He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. There is no other qualification with that. Now, this church will tack something onto it. That church will tack something onto it. Now listen, I'm not down on churches, because we are the church.
Yes.
We are the church.
Not a building.
Right? It's not about the building, the organization. We are the body of Christ. I ask about different trailers you pulled. I bet we got that many denominations in here also. And that's okay, because God will lead you to be a Methodist, me the Baptist, you the Pentecostal, whatever. You know, all right? But when somebody tacks on to, I call it, to the Word of God, we got a problem. And if somebody tells you that you can't be saved or you need to do this and thus, there is nothing you need to do except ask him for forgiveness. That's all.
He does.
He does it. You can't do it anyway.
That's good news.
You know, I can't save myself, right? I couldn't get good enough to save myself. I didn't get saved in December the 19th, 1971. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can see the whole thing played out in my mind where I became born again. I didn't do that so I could go to heaven, which I will. I didn't do that to keep from going to hell, which I won't go. Not because of me, but because of this, right? I'm guaranteed a spot in heaven as long as I'm living my life according to this word. See, there's some responsibility now that I'm born again. I don't just get saved and just go back to whatever. Because I don't believe you can. Now, when I say I don't believe you can't be comfortable doing it.
That's right.
You go back. Yeah, we all stumble. We may fall down a little bit, get up and go again. But you're not going to be comfortable there no more. You're not going to be comfortable in a life of sin. You know? So, he says here that the only thing we need to do to be born again is confess our sins. Now, turn back to page 234. A lot of stuff, that's Hebrews 8:12. Actually, Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 says the same thing. And there got to be a reason why the Bible would repeat itself twice in one book. It's very rare that you see that the same statement is made in two places in the same book. Now, notice what it says in Hebrews 8:12. Now, before we read that, we mentioned a while ago about failed marriages. I hear all the time about God can't use me because. Well, that's just your excuse not to do what God's calling you to do. That's not the Bible. Hebrews 8:12 tells you what happens to your sins. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. What? Read it again.
I will remember no more.
I will remember no more. Wow. Wow. God said, the Word of God says, that Jesus Christ will literally forget that you sinned. Now, people won't. People won't. But then they're not sitting on the throne. Amen? I'm not sitting on the throne. God has not issued me a black robe and made me a judge. I'm just like you. I'm just working through this life, following the Lord the best I can. Right? And we need your help. I need your help. We got a lot to do, men, in a short time. This election's coming up. Pray. Please pray and vote. If you have to vote by, absentee, please vote. But vote only one way. Whatever God leads you to do. 2 years ago or so, we elected a new pastor to our church. And it's always amazing to me that God will lead me to vote for him and lead you not to. That ain't going to happen. Right?
Should be unanimous.
Now, we voted because we wanted. We're human. Right? Now, what I'm saying by that is, don't be swayed by that. Go by what God said. But here again, the good part is in ministry. I don't know how I got on politics. We don't need that, that's for sure. We've got enough problems. They got that problem. No good reason not for you not to be serving God unless you have not asked him to forgive you of your sins, because if you have, then he has forgotten. It says so right there. Now, not only does he forgive us, not only does he forget that we've ever sinned, he empowers us to do the job. Turn to Acts 1:8, which is page 125. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Another misused scripture, but I'm going to try to share with you what I find in this scripture today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is just before the day of Pentecost I mentioned earlier. This is in between Jesus dying, being resurrected from the dead, and the day of Pentecost. I can only imagine the confusion, frustration. He spent 3 years telling the disciples that I'm going to be put to death. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. That went right over their head.
We're all leaky vessels.
You know, I mean, if somebody told you, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'm going to walk back out, you say, right. Well, you've been smoking, you know. That ain't going to happen. It had never happened then. So let's not criticize the disciples. But here we have, after his resurrection, here's what Jesus promised them. Right after he was raised from the dead, he met with them, and he said this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Again, who does the Holy Spirit come? Every born-again Christian, right? He's talking to all of us here. And he said, "What? Now, why does the Holy Spirit come? Why? What's his but role?
Teacher,
one thing, right? Anything else?
Conviction
of our sin.
In the ways you should go to empower you to reach out to others.
Yep, directs us.
He'll give you God's words.
Yep. In fact, we read a while ago where he said, everything, you know, that I've taught you. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The number one, most important thing, he said, you will be witnesses to me. In other words, of me. Remember what we read about John? He was a witness of the light. He was the one that told people Jesus is coming. We get to tell people Jesus is coming. Because he is. Amen? Oh, I know. You're, start to say how old you are, but you're not that old. I'm 60 years old. I've heard that all of my life. You know what? It's still true. I don't know when he's coming, but I'd rather be ready and it not happen than have it happen and me not be ready. These two guys I mentioned earlier, two drivers, sit here for almost an hour waiting on time for the service start this morning. I praise God for that. We happen to know it was going to start at 11. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, so we need to be ready all the time. And what's he going to do? He's going to make us witnesses. It says in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Now, notice something here with me. It says what first? Jerusalem. Why did he say that? Why did he say Jerusalem first, you say? Because that's where they were. That's where they were. Where are you? You're in trucking, right? You're at a truck stop. You're on a loading dock. You're on a receiving dock. Wherever you are. Tell them to come on in. He wants us to start. I have a good friend here in town, a pastor. He likes to say, start where you are with what you got. You don't wait to get a degree. Now, praise God for education. Don't get me wrong. If you got a chance, and you can do it online now, right in the cab of your truck on your laptop. You get all kind of great education right there in the truck. Praise God for that. Don't wait for that, though. You know, the greatest message that's ever been preached is simply this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, if you know that for a fact, you can share that. See, your testimony is more powerful than any preacher could say about anything. And the reason is, you're saying what happened to me. You know, we could argue theology, but you can't argue with what happened to me. I know what happened to me. You know what happened to you. Amen? So that is the most important thing you could ever share. He says here, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. In other words, start where you are and go to wherever I send you. That's the way I read into that. Some of us will never go to a foreign country. I mean, thank God for foreign missionaries. Man, we just started West Monroe, Louisiana, not long ago at Pilot out there. And our team leader out there spent 18 or 19 years in a foreign mission field. He can tell you stories that make your hair stand up. I thank God for where I'm at. Amen. He was on his knees one time, his wife, him, and the whole group, people standing behind him with AK-47 loaded, fixing to blow their head off. And God saved them. There is no reason for them to be alive today. I'm talking about they done drove them out into the bush where nobody's going to find them, put them on their knees, and was standing there. And he's alive today. You know, it may be rough around a truck stop. You may not be well received on the loading dock or whatever, but it ain't that bad. Right? It ain't that bad. So we need to start in Jerusalem and thank God we're not Samaria, I guess. You know, but we do need to start. we do need to start. In other words, tell somebody. And it's easy. If you just ask God, now at first you'll be a little nervous with it, of course, because it's, you know, like me trying to explain a 747, that ain't going to happen, you know. So, but if I study it, I could tell you, right? I remember, like I say, climbing in the truck, and I saw the gear shift said 110, 28. I said, how can you have it two gears at one time? That ain't going to work. But, of course, we know now, right? Splitter. So we learn and share as we go. And by the way, you'll win more people to Christ just on our level than you will trying to impress somebody with big words. Yep. I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to impress me with big words, because I don't know what you're saying. Tell you the truth, I think some of them don't know what they're saying either. So we need to start. God has given us the power. Now, last scripture, and I didn't write the page number down. Somebody find Romans chapter 10 for me and tell me where it's at in that Bible. It's not far from where we're at. Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
Page
160. Page what? 168. 168. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You remember I mentioned earlier that all we need to do is believe, repent, and in that order. I said a while ago, all we need to do to get saved is repent, but we got to believe in Jesus who we're repenting to. Amen? There's no ritual. Look what it says. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you might be saved. Is that what that says? No. It don't say you might be saved. It says you will be saved. You will be. It says in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, we got to believe in our heart. Is anybody in here that does not believe that Jesus died on the cross? Nobody? Okay, good. Does anybody in here not believe that he was raised from the dead? Let me reverse that. How many here believe that he died on the cross? How many believe he was raised from the dead? All right. Now, we believe in our heart. We're doing what this says, see, that he died for us. And then it says in verse 10 that with the heart one believes, that we've already agreed to that. Then it says, with their mouth confession is made unto salvation. First confession is saying, Jesus, forgive me my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. So I need to ask you to forgive me of my sin, or something to that effect. No particular words. And then number two is, it says confession is made unto salvation. The second part of that is telling somebody else about it. Telling somebody else about it. Kind of kicks it in gear, you might say. We prayed for my son for over 15 years. That people listening to tape has prayed with us for close to 20 years. My son run from God. Got deep into drugs. In fact, he was telling me the other day something that blew my mind, because I was always looking for marks on his arm. Well, they figured out how to put it in the top of the arm and don't leave a bruise. I didn't know that. That's scary. In other words, he was shooting up all around me, and I didn't even know. I knew he was on it. I didn't know he was shooting up.
Couldn't find the evidence of it.
That's right. But you know what? God is so... And it wasn't through Daddy. It wasn't Daddy pushing. He was on his porch at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was his little girl we lost in August, last August. In November, he was on his porch in the middle of the night, by himself, as he said, screaming at God. Why didn't you heal my little girl? And he saw, this is his own words, he said, I looked up and I saw Maggie in heaven with God. And Maggie was waving her arms saying, come here, Daddy, come on. And of course, he knew he couldn't. And he dropped down to his knees and gave his life to Christ. I am so thankful for that. I'm not thankful we lost Maggie, but I'm thankful for what's coming out of it. I know where Maggie is. There's no question about that. She loved God. The little six-year-old, she loved God with all of her heart. She was in Sunday school every Sunday with her other grandmother. Now we know, we'll see, we all know we're going to see Maggie again. Now Joey will see Maggie again.
Amen.
And the reason I mentioned that is, I was so proud because, you know, everybody not a bucket mouth like me. I have to remember that. Everybody not going to run around talking, running his mouth all the time. But he does. Now, I didn't tell him to. Please understand something. This is not Daddy prompting. This is that Holy Spirit of God compelling him to say something.
Real time.
In fact, I had mentioned to him, you know, now that you're saved, you're not grown. You're going to have to grow, right? You're going to make mistakes, and you're going to need to ask the Lord to forgive you. You're going to need to, you know, repent and just ask for strength. Well, apparently, at work, when he would say some ugly word, he would correct himself. Because the guy at work went to him and said, "Man, I want what you got." He said, "I don't know what you got, but I want it." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Every time you say something wrong, you correct yourself." And he said, and somehow he picked up Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." That just kind of, he made that part of his lingo, I guess you'd say. You see, and but he wasn't even witnessing, quote unquote, to this person. But he was. You know, we witness more by keeping our mouth shut sometimes, but, you know, living the life. But then God gives us the opportunity to say something. My question to myself is, if we were to run down the road together, maybe have coffee or fuel or whatever together, or load or unload together, would you leave there knowing I was a Christian if I didn't even say it? Would my life show that? And I'm amazed to watch how God uses people like my son and like you. You see, he wants to use every one of us. There's not going to be too many witnesses in trucking.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about saturation. You'll have somebody to talk to. Somebody, a very negative person, one time asked me what was the goal of Truck Stop Ministries, and I said, "We only have one." "What is it?" I said, "To see every trucker born again." "Well, you'll never see that." And I said, "Well, we don't need committees making goals. We just work. Keep going, you know." But every Sunday, every week rather, we get reports back in the office where you guys have filled out paperwork saying, checking, "I was born again today." See, we start praying for you. We're going to pray for you either way, really. But we really pray for that person because God's going to start using them for his glory. So today, I want to close by saying this. The good part of all of this is God is looking. Who? Anybody in the Marines? Their slogan is what? They're looking for a few. That's right. Looking for a few good men. God is looking for a few good men that won't be ashamed. Paul said in Romans 1:8, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." The first day my son and I was riding around in public after he'd been saved for several weeks by then. And one day I just took off and picked him and my grandson up. We just goofed off together. And I said, "Now, if you don't want me to say nothing about God, I won't." He said, "Daddy, I'm not ashamed." Turns out he out-talked me, and that's pretty hard to do. I don't like the competition. I said, "Hold it here. This is my show. I work alone." No, don't you know I was proud? And I'm just as proud when I run up with one of you on the road and get to listen to you talk and you share. Because again, you're going to meet people that I will never get to see. I will meet people you won't get to see. And again, with your hauling heavy equipment, you usually don't go to a produce dock.
Yep.
Right? In fact, they don't even know how to back up. But anyway.
That's all you make circle.
I know one told me that. So I don't back up.
Like pulling doubles.
That's right. I pull up and stop, and they put it on me. But we all got a job to do. And look what a diversity of that we are here today. We got one common thing, and that is, it's all about God. Amen. People ask me, what church do you attend? I said, does it matter? I'm proud of my church, don't get me wrong. But does it matter? What matters is we're going to the same heaven. That's what counts. And I want to take as many with me as I can. If there's somebody here today that's never been born again, or if you're not sure. Now listen about being sure. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Let's not take a chance. We read in the Bible in 1 John 1:9 said, if we repent, if we confess our sins, what did he say he'd do? He'd forgive us. Simple as that. I'm gonna pray a simple little prayer, and I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want you to pray it with me out loud with your eyes open and heads up. Why? Because I want you to learn to pray that way, because if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. And don't get on your knees. I may be coming in that motorhome, you know, it can't stand that impact. Especially something big as he's hauling. But seriously though, you know, the good part about talking to God, we can do it anytime, anywhere. I get up in the morning, get my cup of coffee, and get out and walk and talk to the Lord. If I'm in a truck stop, if I'm on the road somewhere in the motorhome, traveling, which I will be, a couple of weeks from now, headed to California. I get up, get my coffee, get out, walk around and pray, talk to God. And I hope you do. And go down the road talking to God, you know, but I don't close my eyes. But today, I want us to pray this prayer together. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to. You're right. If you're saved, you're saved. But for the benefit of somebody sitting here with us that may not know, let's do it together. And if you don't mean it, it's not going to do anything anyway. So it's a personal thing. I'm not going to walk up and say, did you really mean that? No, that's between you and God.
That's your
benefit. That's right. I won't ask for a show of hands or nothing. I used to do that. That's okay. It's between you and God. I will ask you to fill that form out and let me know privately. But let's close with this prayer. And if you mean this, if God has spoken to your heart, if you've thought of something in your life that shouldn't be, now is the time to unload it. Right now. And he'll forget it. Would you pray this with me out loud? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
In
the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord.
I ask you, Lord.
To forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive me where I've done wrong.
Forgive me where I've done wrong.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And help me to be, the kind of Christian, that you want me to be.
That you want me to be.
And I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you meant that, as we prayed, God has forgiven you based on the authority, not of what I say, but what we read.
As far as east is from the west.
That's right. He said he'd separate. You know, there's something else I heard growing up is he'll cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Ain't in the Bible. There is no sea of forgetfulness. What he said is he'll separate us as far as the east is from the west, and those two places don't ever meet.
That's right.
That's why he used that. I thought, duh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have thought of that.